Hi, I'm Simon Brown, MoneyWeb Now podcast host, and I have news for you. You can learn to invest like a pro with MoneyWeb at the Better Investor Conference on 29 March. We'll have investing topics such as, can you retire in 2 million rand? Building generational wealth in spite of black tax? The pitfalls of investing in retirement property? Why the right financial advisor could be your best investment? How to tailor your investment strategy to mitigate SA's problems? And real-world uses for crypto? Whether a beginner or seasoned investor, this conference will help you become a better investor.
You can live stream the MoneyWeb Better Investor Conference on 29 March. For the free live stream and more info, go to moneyweb.co.za, the MoneyWeb app, the MoneyWeb YouTube channel, or follow MoneyWeb News on social media. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.
Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Monday, 27 March. The UK and Europe have changed their clocks, so the LSE now opening at 9 a.m. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Derek Jensen van Rensburg from Anchor Capital, Montauk Renewables, a stock I've never really looked at, but they're in the renewable space. They're in the US. They're expanding. Is there anything there worth looking at? And then Mediclinic delisting has been approved. Does either Life or Netcare offer value? Stian de Witt, he from NMG Benefits, using tax incentives to save and earn more. And then Frank Knight from Debt Source, changes in the laws around accountable institutions. This was part of the process to stave off grey listing. What does it actually mean? What are these accountable institutions? The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. For morning headlines, MoneyWeb Finance Minister plans to get SA off grey list. The country needs to work on 8 strategic deficiencies to earn its exit, most of these around prosecutions. Business Day, load shedding scuppers, metals and engineering investment of 2.5 billion. Long-term implications are devastating for businesses in the sector. This according to the Steel and Engineering Industries Federation of South Africa. Morning markets. The US was green on Friday. S&P up 0.6%. Nasdaq up 0.3%. Asia is green. Sydney up 0.25% and Tokyo up 0.33%. Commodities, however, all red. Gold, $1,995 an ounce. Brent, $74.89 a barrel. Platinum, $987. Palladium, 1,398. The rand is at 18.18 against the dollar. Bitcoin, 27,900. 10 cent down 1.7%. It was almost 4% lower, but recovering a bit. And top 40 opening call, looking for about a 670 point green open. That is 1% to the upside.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Training now with Derek Jensen van Rensburg from Anchor Capital. Derek, appreciate the early morning time. Montauk Renewables, I'm not even sure if I'm saying it not right. This is a stock I've never really looked at. I remember when it got spun out of HCI. It is in the renewable energy space in the US. Had results recently expanding into the US. Is this a stock you've looked at? Is there anything of interest or note there?
Morning, Simon. Yeah, absolutely. I think, this is certainly something that's kind of gone under the radar, but certainly, since the spin-off and obviously as it started to trade on the JSE, it certainly started to grab a little bit of attention. You know, obviously operating in the right spaces at the moment in terms of renewable energy and, looking to expand that. So, you know, I'm busy doing quite a bit of homework on it at the moment, so I'm going to be looking at the fundamentals in a lot more detail. But certainly, just from a company perspective, doing all the right things, investing in the right places, valuation looks okay. I mean, it is quite lofty, but I do think that, there's a growth profile underpinned behind it. So, you know, obviously moving and listing on that US exchange, certainly helping the story there and starting to gain a bit of momentum. So I do like the story. But I do need to do sort of dig deeper into some of the fundamentals and just go through where we're sitting at the moment.
I take your point. The story might be good. The numbers, perhaps, then are the next point. We got the competition watchdog giving the nod to the Remgro, ultimately the delisting. Some T's and C's around that. I mean, my question is, it leads us down to two hospital stocks on our market, Netcare, Life Healthcare. Are either of them something on your watch list, or perhaps even something that you hold in the hospital space?
So, you know, as we sort of navigate through this year, it's always sad to see the number of delistings increasing, and obviously the number of shares listed on our market just slowly starting to whittle away. But just looking at that healthcare space, I think, you know, doing a bit of work on the Life Healthcare statements that we've seen recently, I think that's a business that actually looks quite well placed, not on a demanding valuation, and also quite a sort of dynamic management team. So I think that if you are going to look in that hospital space, the one that jumps out for me is Life Healthcare at this point.
Yeah, and Life, the folks, they've got it's Life Healthcare, they've got the imaging, there's a potential offer happening there. So Life, the preferred to Netcare, to Derek's point, we're losing stocks, and it's a shame for our market. Derek Janssen from Rensburg, Anchor Capital, appreciate the time this morning. And that's our question on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles at MoneyWeb. Life Healthcare, or perhaps Netcare, do you prefer either of those? Perhaps you prefer offshore health, or perhaps none for you. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
If seagulls were hardy-dars who could afford to retire to the coast, what kind of bird would you be? Would you soar over the savannah or chase summer around the globe? You see, even when you stop working, your money won't. When you invest in Stanlib's fixed income funds, you can retire earning a regular income off your investments. Invest for more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Sten David, Executive Head of Financial Planning at NMG Benefits. Sten, appreciate the time. Budget last month, a lot of folks said not much happening. And there was a bit, certainly we saw slight increases to personal tax thresholds, some changes to medical tax credits, which benefited people. But there are other bits and pieces that we as savers, as investors, can do to actually benefit and frankly, take a little bit home, save a little bit more, and earn a little bit more in our retirement.
Yes, thank you, Simon. Yes, one of the things that it's been a while since that was promulgated in law is the tax-free savings account and tax-free savings investments that people can utilize. Now, one thing it's important to understand is the difference between a tax-free savings account and tax-free savings investment. The one invested into normal savings, you'll probably get your money market rates or even just a fixed deposit rate. The other one, you can, through unit trust fund manager, you can go into investments, offshore, local, which will give you a high return, obviously with some volatility in it. But that's at 36,000 rand per annum to a total of 500,000 rand over your lifetime. You can invest into those vehicles where you don't have pay any capital gains tax, no dividends, or any interest on any of those instruments. However, it's important that to note that the payment into the fund is not tax deductible. You only get the tax-free portion, and therefore it's also important to make sure you utilize your other tax rebates on your interest and your capital gains tax. And you know, you can go up to 500,000 rand into a unit trust portfolio before accessing those thresholds where you're going to start paying tax. So that's one of the things that that the consumer can do.
And that's a good distinction as well between the tax-free saving, and I like your point around account versus investment. The tax-free and the retirement annuities, the retirement annuities are, the tax deduction happens in the year of the deposit, whereas the tax-free savings, that benefit is actually when you withdraw the money.
Yeah. So on your retirement annuities, same, the laws change, your retirement annuities, your pension, your provident funds all combined, you can save a total of 27.5% per year towards that and have a full tax deduction to a maximum of 350,000 rand a year. Now, one of the practical ways in which you can do it, if you do a monthly contribution, you can either do monthly once-off lump sums. You go to your HR and say, listen, would you mind just taking, here's my certificate or here's my policy schedule, would you mind just utilizing this now and doing a tax deduction out the month that I'm contributing, that I get that deduction now? And someone used to tell me, money in my pocket is always better than money in someone else's pocket.
Yeah, so you get that saving monthly rather than absolutely. Sort of claiming it back.
Yes, yes. And then the other thing that's important, what I say to people is to keep in mind that you can throw up to 2 million rand into your retirement fund, and then when you retire, if you have a proper financial planner that helps you in the process, you can actually get that 2 million rand tax-free out of that investment over your lifetime. So you pay on that contribution, you get the full tax deduction, but on the income, you're not going to pay any tax.
Gotcha. And that's essentially because if you put, is it this around, if you put excess in, say 350, I hit my 350 limit. If I put more in, I can actually claim that in subsequent years.
Absolutely. And then what's important, the same as on the tax-free investment, remember, on the growth of that investment, there is no tax. Mm-hmm. And it also falls outside of your estate. So it helps with estate planning as well in the process.
Another, the solar panels, there was some criticism that it was fairly small and fairly niche, but it's not. I mean, again, you know, these are small amounts perhaps in some places, but they're worth doing because they start to add up. I mean, you know, the solar panels is 25% the cost of the panels only, not batteries and installation, up to maximum 15,000. But you've got to move fast because this is only for this year.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of people, there's a lot of criticism about it, but hey, you know what? That's a maximum of 15,000 rand. And remember, that 15,000 rand is a direct bottom line saving in your tax.
Yeah.
So it's not like on an RA where you're going to get a portion of it to save. So if you have 80,000 rand spent or 60,000 rand spent on solar panels, that 25% that you get as a rebate, that 15,000 rand is a direct saving on your tax bill at the end of the year.
What about in endowments? I mean, these were a huge rage many, many years ago. They seem to be coming back. There certainly are, for those who, my understanding is for those that are in a higher tax bracket, there are benefits to endowments as well.
Yeah, yeah. So endowments, obviously, on a individual capacity, there is a 30% tax that mm-hmm. you pay inside of the endowment. The contribution, you don't get any tax deduction, and the moment the money is withdrawn or matures, you obviously don't pay any tax. But I think it's very important that if you utilize an endowment, you must first utilize your other tax benefits regarding your interest and your capital gains tax exemptions in your unit trust portfolios and stuff like that, because a lot of people say they use it for their children's retirement, so your children's education or something like that, but the fees and the tax involved in that those portfolios are higher than what you would get in another scenario. So someone with a 40-45% tax bracket that's utilized all the other exemptions, yes, then it makes absolute sense. But before then, don't even go into endowment.
I take your point. You use up everything else first, and you need to be in that higher tax bracket. Otherwise, the numbers just simply don't add up. We'll leave it there. That's the end of it. Executive Director, Executive Head, rather, of Financial Planning and MG Benefits. Appreciate the early morning.
There's no postponing the inevitable. Your money knew this day would come. And you know what? It can hardly wait to start giving some back to you. When you invest in Stanlib's fixed income funds, you can retire earning a regular income off your investments. Invest for more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Frank Knight, CEO of Debt Source. Frank, appreciate the time today. Part of the attempt by government to avoid grey listing was changes to a bunch of legislation, part of it around accountable institutions. I suppose first question, what qualifies you as an accountable institution?
Thank you so much, Simon. So accountable institutions are any companies that potentially could deal with the proceeds of money laundering and or terrorist activities. So basically anyone who grants credit, anyone that deals with finance, imagine banks, etc., they've been part of the process for quite some time. And basically what's now happened is that definition of accountable institution has been expanded to include a much wider range of businesses.
What are some of those new businesses that have been brought into the expanded definition?
Well, specifically around the credit stuff that we deal with, what they've done is any business that sells on a credit basis, whether it's a credit provider or non-credit provider, has now been brought into the fold. And that basically means that you've got to be compliant in terms of the FIC Act. And in the same way as some of the other accountable institutions, such as the financial services industry is.
Was there also increased processes here? Because a lot of this is obviously around reporting.
So reporting is one of the 6 requirements that the FIC asks these companies to do. So there's a registration process. You've got to have a training process, make sure that staff are trained and actually know what it is that they're doing when it comes to reporting on FIC. There's a governance process. In other words, FIC is a little bit more, shall we say, rules-based, a little bit like we saw within the Poppy Act as well. In other words, they want to follow risk management processes because financial services specifically is quite complex. They can't say you've got to specifically do this in this instance, unless it's, you know, like a cash deposit of 50,000 rand, then you've got to report it. But what they're saying is roll out a risk management and compliance program so that that is appropriate to the business. And then there's additional requirements of record keeping and reporting. So if there is an issue, we can go back and say, okay, well, here's what's happened.
And that appropriateness, perhaps important, because, you know, I'm thinking, for example, some of the new ones in, you know, estate agents versus crypto providers, fairly different businesses. I see why they're both in the process, but they would have different processes and therefore perhaps different because of the appropriateness in some cases.
Yeah, absolutely correct. To really regulate in detail financial services markets or financial services transactions or financial transactions, if you prefer, is very, very complex. You know, it takes shape in many different ways and forms in many different ways in businesses and through a wide range of industries. So I think more and more what we're seeing is legislation moving to say, guys, these are the principles. If you remember Poppy, for instance, we had those 8 principles. And I think this is what FIC is trying to do as well. Say, guys, these are the principles. But when we come and visit, we need to see that you're complying with the principles and that your risk management processes are in good understanding of what it is that you need to do in order to help the money laundering process.
And in many cases, I mean, listen to what you're saying here, for larger businesses, it's something which they can probably fairly easily implement and put into place. It's going to be harder, perhaps, for some of the smaller businesses, as is often the case. I mean, we reference Poppy, same story. You know, I'm thinking the mom and pop businesses, it's tougher to really get compliant and stay compliant because of the processes and costs associated.
I think you're absolutely right, Simon. And I think where one of the areas that businesses are really going to struggle with. So part of the process is when you sell to someone, for instance, on a credit basis, or you just do business with a company out there in a financial transaction, you've got to do appropriate due diligence on the company. But one of the things that the FIC actually asks us to do is to really understand the beneficial ownership of that business. Because, you know, it's so easy to mask a business in terms of who actually really owns the business through a shareholding or directorship and, you know, all kinds of silent partners type of structure. And I think small businesses are really going to struggle there because do you really know your customers? Do you really know who the beneficial owners are of your customers? Yeah, you may know the directors. That's easy to get. You probably know the shareholders, but actually who sits behind those shareholders ultimately? And I think those are some of the areas that there's a long way to go before we're all going to be compliant from that perspective.
Yeah, I take a point on that. I mean, that said, I mean, it is an important part. I mean, as I said, you know, we implemented a fair bit of legislation. We still got grey-listed, or a lot of that was more around the prosecution side. These rules are bringing us not just up to international standards, but actually they're from a good intent.
I completely agree with you. And I definitely think that the wider scope of the FIC makes an enormous amount of sense. I mean, in South Africa, we struggle to stop the crimes of being committed. But wouldn't it be amazing if you can stop the money being spent, which is the proceeds from those crimes, or then pick it up kind of in the back end as opposed to in the front end? So definitely, I think that businesses generally should really try and support this.
We'll leave it there. That's Frank Knight, CEO of DebtSource. Frank, appreciate the time. That's it for today. On Friday, we were chatting with John Mayeka. He's from Old Mutual, the education division. We're talking food inflation. It remains in double digits. Heck, it remains the highest since April 2009. We asked your experience with food inflation. 40% said it was really bad. When I was shopping at a Woolies on Saturday, stuff is expensive. 30% said managing. The rest say you're changing your eating habits to manage the higher food inflation. Have your vote. Have your say. Twitter and LinkedIn. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website to the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobokhle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
Listen to the live stream of MoneyWeb Now at the same time every weekday. For more business, finance, and investment news, MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Hi, I'm Simon Brown, MoneyWeb Now podcast host, and I have news for you. You can learn to invest like a pro with MoneyWeb at the Better Investor Conference on 29 March. We'll have investing topics such as, can you retire in 2 million rand? Building generational wealth in spite of black tax? The pitfalls of investing in retirement property? Why the right financial advisor could be your best investment? How to tailor your investment strategy to mitigate SA's problems? And real-world uses for crypto? Whether a beginner or seasoned investor, this conference will help you become a better investor.
You can live stream the MoneyWeb Better Investor Conference on 29 March. For the free live stream and more info, go to moneyweb.co.za, the MoneyWeb app, the MoneyWeb YouTube channel, or follow MoneyWeb News on social media. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.